I know you.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Say, I don't even know your name.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday. All good in the neighborhood. Hopefully everybody is having a good one as we progress towards the weekend.
What are you Barry's doing, here. Barry?
Nick's here. I'm here.
Pulling my pants up. Don't worry about it. You're on the stream right now. I don't care my pants. I don't want my butt crack hanging out while I do this show.
That little gyration, half-standing thing you just did.
Now I know what it's like to wear yoga pants. Why, you talked to Raheel today? These pants are too tight.
No, he wore them yesterday. Those white pants.
Stop it. Those aren't
those
yoga.
White yoga
These
pants.
Are tighter than the white pants. These are actual skinny jeans. Thank God they're stretchy. It would be way worse. All right. I apologize. I didn't, by the way, I just want you to know I didn't interrupt you. I was just fixing my pants. That was Nicholas
I was trying to give our listeners a disclaimer before they went on to ESPN975.com
no
and witnessed
stream.
What you were doing.
No one looks at the stream.
Nobody wanted to see that.
Well, no one saw it. I hate you.
Carry on. I didn't say a word.
Not you, him. I hate him. I hate him so much. And he wonders why I make up things like his dog and peanut butter.
Wait, you made that up?
Well.
Here's the thing. You say that, but then he shows the love, too, when he tweeted Friday night that he doesn't love us, so therefore he doesn't ever look out for us with the dump button.
All I said was I only use the dump button for hosts that I like.
That's why I never use it on the usual suspects.
That really wasn't that bad of a tweet.
On the usual suspects?
Yes. Really wasn't that offensive of a tweet.
I don't know.
I totally forgot about that. But yeah, that's super offensive. We're not, you don't like us, is what you're saying.
I mean, I just, you know.
That's basically what you're saying.
I don't pay attention to the dump button as much as I should when I'm on the usual suspects.
Well, that was obvious when Barry didn't get double dumped the other
day. That was intentional.
Yeah. I see that now. I see you trying to get me fired.
Disconnect the dump button right now.
I feel like if I asked you to apologize, you would just say, I'm sorry that this happened to all of us. I feel like
I would pull an Urban Meyer for sure.
I feel like that's what you
would say. I'm sorry for the situation.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry that we have to have a dump button or something just generic and random.
I'm sorry this was so unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nick, if you had the chance, I mean, what would you say to Barry Laminack? Would you, I mean, If given the opportunity, what do you want to say to Barry?
Well, I could have done a little bit more in terms of being transparent with the dumb button. Uh-huh. But, you know, I felt like I did what I could. I'm human. I apologize for that. But I blame everybody else except for me.
See, I think I'm just sorry.
Way to
we're
go,
in the,
Nick Meyer.
I'm just sorry to go. We're all in this situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the main thing. I don't want to say anybody's name.
Gosh.
I have sympathy for everyone involved, and I'm just sorry we're in this situation.
You guys are jerks.
And I trust that you guys will understand my poor behavior and poor decision-making over the past 2-3 weeks and my use of the dumb button.
But if I don't remember what I was supposed to do for this show, please realize that I do have an issue with my memory. And if you need me tomorrow before the show, I will be meeting with my cell phone people to delete my text messages for the last year and a half.
It would be cool if I could get suspended, but still kind of be a part of the show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It would be awesome if you could get suspended.
Like if I get suspended, would I still be a part of the production process or no?
You could just drop everything after that. It would just be great if you got suspended.
If I just disappeared?
If you just got suspended.
Intern Trey, come in here. Come produce the show.
He's on his way in. Are you threatening me? Because...
Actually, he is here.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's here.
Don't leave. Please don't. Please don't.
Hey, guys, I'm ready. Nick said that I'm taking over, like, now.
Well, he went to try to volunteer with Brandon and the digital crew, and they basically told him that, no, we don't need you. So he came up to me and was like, yeah, they kind of told me that they don't need me. So I'm like, you can come hang out with Barry.
I shot a video real quick this morning, and he was in there. And he actually had a great idea.
What was it?
Well, I don't want to ruin it.
Okay, okay.
I mean, I don't care. So I'm doing these. I want to do these little clips each week for Hard Knocks. And it's basically what we talked about.
Right.
Where you had given me the idea that I should do the one. I should do a remake of the O-line coach for the Browns just going, Seth Hutt, and my gut jumping up and down. So instead, what that morphed into is I want to do a quick Hard Knocks recap each week. So all my part was is I had to go in and say, I'm Barry Labanek, and this is your Hard Knocks recap. And then they're going to run a 15-second recap. So this week might just be the guy going, Seth Hutt, the whole time. That's the whole recap. And then because they curse a lot, I wanted to just have a recap of nothing but curse words from the show for one. Just
I think that would be fantastic.
And so they were like, you know, they were asking, well, do you want us to beep them? I'm like, well, of course, it's got to be beeped. And then Trey said, well, instead of beeping it, well, actually, Brandon goes, well, we could use other sounds besides the beep. And I was like, oh, yeah, we could use like a duck squeak or something like that. And Trey goes, just use the Set Hut. I was like, oh, that's brilliant, Trey. So that might be something that we do in the next week or so is instead of bleeping out the curse words, it'll just be the guy going, hut, every time they curse.
Look forward to that on Sports.
Brilliant. Map. Trey is a genius. Don't tell him I said that.
He's already in here. He heard
I told
you.
Him to go in there because is he? Nick set the table for what was Trey airing it out on social media. Right after Nick said that he was in the video room, I saw Trey tweeted out, there's nothing more depressing than being somewhere where they don't need you. So I said, come on, bro, we need you. Come on in.
You come in here. Yeah. You can hang out with
us,
Trey. You're always welcome on The Usual Suspects, Trey. Always.
In the production.
We've got a busy studio. Show, actually. We got Sigmund Bloom at 2:30.
Fantasy football time.
Apparently. Now, he said this, and we haven't efforted it and reached out to him, but the coach that we played the audio from yesterday.
From the Little League.
From Little League, where he would, every time he'd go to the mound, he would be like, hey, I know you're not in high school yet, but your high school coach said you're cut. All those kind of things. So he reached out to us on Twitter and said he was going to call today. And I'm looking forward to that. And someone sent me a video of him doing a pregame pep talk to his crew. It might be better than the audio we ran yesterday of him and his mound visit. So maybe we'll have that a little bit later. Like I said, Sigmund Bloom at 2:30 to talk fantasy. And then, of course, I don't know, was there anything else? There's really nothing else that's gone on.
The Astros stare down at the end of a home run.
Yeah, there was that, but nothing else. Oh, maybe something up north there at Ohio State.
Yeah,
maybe.
Just the Urban Meyer situation.
One thing I did notice before we get, you know, wrap up this segment and start getting hot and heavy into the topics of the day. I put this in the rundown. I'm sure you guys were like, what the hell is he talking about? I just wrote down, this is how I know we're old. The VMAs came and went, and we didn't even realize that they were a thing.
The Video Music Awards?
I knew they happened the other day.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't bring it up. Nope. We didn't watch it.
Nope.
That's how I know that we are all officially old.
Is it that we're old or MTV sucks?
No. It's if we were of the generation that would be, or if we were young, if we were hip, we would have watched that.
I don't think anyone watches MTV anymore.
Oh, Trey, do you watch MTV?
He can't hear you.
Ask Trey if he watches MTV. No?
And he's a music aficionado, which is why he doesn't watch MTV.
But there's not that. It doesn't come on as frequently enough. That's the problem. If they played videos all the time, then people would know to look forward to watching videos. But that's not enough. That's not the content that makes them money.
Huh. So,
I mean, they just renewed. What's that? The guy from Big and Rob Diedrich's Fantasy Factory. They just renewed him.
What the hell is Fantasy Factory?
Rob and Big.
Show. I know who that is.
Yeah, he basically. Barely. It's basically like a warehouse, and he just does all this crazy stuff in this fantasy factory. It's basically a show about him doing dumb stuff. He also has a show where he actually interviews
people.
You
literally didn't give me any info.
You've never seen Rob Diedrich's Fantasy Factory?
No.
You never seen the warehouse where he has like he'll skateboard. He'll just do dumb childish crap in the warehouse. You've never seen that?
And that's a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know he had a show where he was the host. It was like a game show. or something like that on MTV where they would show videos.
But the original show was Big and Rob, right?
Right.
Well, but Robin Big, right?
Or Robin Big, yeah.
Whatever.
Roger Troutman and Zapp.
No. But he had a game show. Is that show still on MTV?
I think it is.
He shows funny videos and then they all, I don't know, chop it up and talk about it. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't watch. You're right. I mean, I don't watch VN. I don't watch videos.
We are old.
I don't think that's on us. I think it's on them. The programming sucks. Like Nick, we both said, it's not music anymore. It used to be you put on the TV to like watch radio. Like instead of listening to your favorite radio station, you just put the TV on to see the videos, see the hot chicks, see what they did for the videos. And essentially you're just listening to music the whole time. Now it's like 95% bad television series and stupid shows.
Yeah, when you first put that on the rundown, you know what I thought of? Gmail just recently changed their interface, so it looks completely different, like their email. And normally I just evolve, and it's not a big deal. Like I just, all right, this is where the print button is. This is where the new email button is. I was literally getting frustrated because of the new Gmail interface. I was like, really? Really? And that's how I can tell I'm getting old, because I don't have the patience to evolve and use a new freaking email interface. That's how I know I'm getting old.
So were you like cursing up? Where's the flu flarn?
I wasn't, but I was in my mind. I was thinking that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hmm.
Have you seen the new interface? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I use it all the time.
Yeah,
I love it.
Does that shock you?
What? The IT guy loves it.
Yeah, the IT guy loves the new updated.
How do you feel about the new interface, Joel?
When I see it for the first time, I'll let you know. Other than that, I feel exactly like I should.
Because you're still using like AOL or something.
Then you go there. Okay.
What are you using? Isn't it AOL? Oh, it's SBC like, Global. That's pretty much the same thing.
CompuServe? Joel's like, I got to check my email. Anybody got a phone line?
You got mail. All right, you can take a break.
This is so silent. He's like, okay. Jerks, you done? Yeah, I'm done. We're old. That's the story. We're old.
I have memory loss.
You have memory loss?
Yeah, I'm not getting into
you, it. You and Urban?
Yep.
I got you.
Me and
some
Herb.
Pills you're taking?
Me and Herb. All right, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You got mail.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting started. Appreciate you fastening your seatbelts and coming along for the ride. Nick, Barry, Joel on a Thursday. Jugs supervising Nick in the production room. Always happy to have him on board as well. We had a little fun and games. We got this thing started. Good thing you didn't want to take any calls.
That's not nice. I screwed up one time.
I don't think Nick and I would either one of us say one time is very much an understatement. But Mike has held over.
Yes. Sorry, Mike.
From the Charlie Pulillo show. Sorry, Mike. We did not inundate you with stats leading up to this call.
Oh.
But we will feel free to break down what you want to bring up. So what do you got on the Astros, my friend?
Well, hey, I knew I wasn't going to get answered in the first segment since how Chano messed that up forever.
That's
but,
right.
I was watching the I was watching the game, guys, and I don't know if y'all were able to see it or when y'all got home or what y'all schedule was. But I'm really impressed by Tyler White. He went 3 for 5 yesterday, 2 for 4 the day before. He's like slowly becoming my underdog Astro that I'm rooting for. Is there any way that you can't keep that guy in the lineup? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the good news is if you like him, he's probably not going anywhere because September call-ups are about to happen. So there's going to be plenty of room on this roster for Tyler White and others.
Right.
So that's the good news starting off.
Well, and the other thing is you know, we've highlighted it. Look, he hasn't been great when he first came up, but he's on a hot streak now. First, it was an 8-game hitting streak. Then, as you mentioned, he was one hit away from the cycle. So was Maldonado, by the way, who, crazily enough, has had a couple of big games on this road trip already. But, I mean, I wouldn't get overzealous on the fact that these guys are going to be guys that are going to be big in the playoffs. But for right now, yeah, I mean, I think for the foreseeable future, he's going to be around, and he's a guy they're going to lean on, because you don't know when Springer's coming back. You assume in this Angel series, and you hope that's the case. But as they continue to get healthy, we know that, you know, their J.D. Davises of the world are going to go away. But the pleasant surprise, first it was Tony Kemp, now it's Tyler White, and those are good problems to have.
Yeah, he, I mean, across the board, his numbers are pretty ridiculous right now. When you look at, so his last 7 days, right? Let's just start with that. Because that's usually one of those ones where you can just tell if a guy's hot or not. He's sitting 333. He's got the home run, a double, a triple, a couple of runs scored, a couple of RBIs. On the road, he's hitting 281. In August, he's hitting 327. Just across the board, he's doing real well. For the season, he's hitting 306. But the impressive thing is what he's able to do at versus lefties, righties. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to break down on you. He's still hitting almost 300 against righties, which was, you thought, okay, Tyler White might be a guy that would platoon against lefties. When there's a lefty on the mound, then you can throw him in there. But he's actually doing well against pitchers from both sides of the rubber there. So I think he's a guy that you thought when he first came up, he had that really incredible run that first month of the year, and then he's never been able to duplicate anything like that. But he has turned it up. His June, he didn't get many at bats, but since then he's had 2855 at bats in July and August, and he's taken advantage of it. He's hit 286 in June and July and 327 in August. So not a guy that's going anywhere. You don't send a guy like that down. That's
no,
for sure.
That's absolutely right. But again, I mean, look, and we'll get to this at some point. You and I both last night did a little research and started looking at guys that are potentially out there and guys that might be available that the Astros could look at. But I think that one thing is safe to say, and those two guys being Kemp and White have proven that they belong on the major league level, whereas other guys like Tucker, like Fisher, like J.D. Davis, they got some seasoning to get done down there in AAA.
The problem with Tyler White is going to be playing time. Where are you going to play him? If it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be filling in at first base and probably a platoon situation in left field with Kemp.
But the thing is, if Marwin wasn't hot, then you could say, well, there's an opportunity for you. But Marwin's the one thing hot that hurts him is Marwin got hot too right recently.
So you've got left field. You're looking at, all right, Tony Kemp is going to get some time in left field. Marwin Gonzalez is going to get some time in left field. Tyler White will probably get some time in left field and at first base. You might DH him depending on, you know,
see,
what
I
else is
going
on.
I think that's a legit possibility based on Gattis being so up and down.
Yeah,
I think there's a possibility there as well, because Marwin's probably going to have a position spot in the lineup in most cases. So I think the designated hitter is definitely something where that spot where he could get some time.
Yeah, I'm with you. Good problem to have, though.
Yeah, and again, I didn't see it till I got home. Two things. One, I get home and I'm dreading it, but I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a workout in. I'm going to lift weights in the garage where it's like 163 degrees. And I go, probably I'll just listen to music. It's not worth putting the game on. But I'm like, I'll check it. I put the game on, and it's 9-7. And I go, what the hell happened when it was 8-0 to get to 9-7 in like two innings?
Yeah. I'm driving home listening to the Blitz, and they're talking about it. It was 9-1, and they were talking about it, and they were like, it's over. I mean, it's over. And then I don't know who it was, if it was Fred or AJ, but one of them mentioned, I would feel more comfortable if it was 13-1, because this bullpen, and even in my mind, I'm going, oh God, they're so dramatic sometimes, 13-1. And then I get home, I switched off, started listening to some music. I get home, I forgot about the game. Later that night, I look up, I was like, oh damn.
Yeah.
Whoever said it was pretty much spot on about it being 13-1 and being more comfortable, because 10-7 and you're up 9-1.
But then speaking of Tyler White, I had it on the radio, so then I put the TV on so I can see it in the living room from through the window from my garage. And I look in there, and I see him hit the home run. So I kind of stop for a second, and I watch. And the fact that those guys – this is, again, a good sign in a lot of ways, because it shows how close and tight that locker room still is, even with Osuna, the whole thing everybody was questioning with Osuna coming in.
because the Bregman stare after the home run was taken to an absolutely new level where they all had their backs turned, and at the same exact time, everybody turns and does a different version of the freeze stare at the camera. Just classic.
And I, when he hit that home run, I didn't think that thing was going out.
I didn't either.
It was not the swing. It was not a home run swing. It didn't look like the contact was good. I thought, oh man, that
shows you the pop he's got right now, which is another good sign. So they're off today. They're in Anaheim this weekend. Like I said, hopefully Springer comes back and they add another piece of the puzzle off the DL. So that would be a little bit of a boost as well. So we'll see how that goes. And as an added bonus, the Rangers finally showed up with a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And beat the A's yesterday. I think it was 4-2. So therefore, the Astros are back one up in the division. So any lead's a good lead at this point.
Speaking of that, we'll get this out of the way so we don't have to linger with it because of Josh Rapp. But when we were talking about things to discuss, he said, hey, the Cardinals just swept the Cubs with a bunch of rookies on the mound. So there, we've mentioned it. They're still 2.5 back. Hottest team in the National League, though, I think it's safe to say them and the Rockies.
I was right watching now. Them last night, and it was a 1-1 game heading to the ninth, and I turned it off, and the Cards got a 2-run bomb in the ninth and beat the Dodgers again. So the fact that they did what they did to the Cubs, they did what they did to the Dodgers, you got to take note that they're playing good baseball. They already made the trade with the Nationals to get Adams, so they're trying to do what they need to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Cubs are still adding pieces, so the Cardinals, if they think that they can just...
Well, but the Cardinals added Adams, so I'm
saying...
No,
but the Cubs did, too. The Cubs added, what's his name?
Murphy.
Yeah. So the Cubs aren't resting, and if the Cardinals think that they're just going to sneak up on them now, it's not going to happen.
You've definitely got
their attention.
And we do have some pitchers that are out there. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm still kicking the tires on pitchers because their staff worries.
Who you think wins that division, Cubs or Cardinals?
I just don't think the Cubs will win it.
Yeah.
Cubs got a lot of talent all over the place, even without Darvish.
Yeah, who's out for the year.
Right, he's done. And, you know, the fact that Cole Hamels has been huge ever since he got there, too, is helping out immensely. So that helps them a big
Brewers
time.
Are fading a little bit, too.
Yeah, they won again yesterday, but Yelich is just on fire. But the rest of the team's kind of scuffling right now.
Question really in the NL is the wild card. Yeah. Kind of up for grabs right now between the Rockies, Phillies, Dodgers, Brewers, and Cardinals.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting race down the stretch.
Should be fun. That's what baseball put it in for. So we'll continue to monitor that. We've got more baseball we can get to later in the show. But, of course, the topic of the day is that at Ohio State and Urban Meyer. We can get to that. We can get to a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, whether it be on that topic or another, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. And right now I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've been talking about Mac forever and a day. He's a good friend of mine. He's also a great guy when it comes to going to the right spot for furniture. He makes sure that he takes care of you, just like he did with all the people in need with the hurricane that hit and all the disasters that hit Houston and how he supports them. He also supports the people of Houston with great furniture at great prices and 3 available locations to go shop. He has Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugar Land. He's got the Galleria, and he's got I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which of the three locations you hit up, same great deals, same customer service, everything intact. Brands like Stickley when you're talking about furniture for your living room, dining room. Solid wood, American made, going to last a long time, whether it's leather or upholstered. You look at things in the bedroom where you got Stearns and Foster, you've got Sealy, you've got Posturepedic, and you've got Tempur-Pedic. All those big brand names. And again, that Astros promotion still going on where if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get all your bedroom furniture for free, assuming you buy $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture from Gallery Furniture. It's a great way to just kind of say, hey, roll the dice. You get from us, you still get great quality furniture, but there's also a chance you get it free at the end of the year. It's fun, it's games, but really it's true business because when Mac says it, that means they're going to do it. That means no back order slips. Buy today, get it tonight. Get it within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. And the fact of the matter is, like nothing else besides no back order slips, they also tell you and they believe in it and they do it. Gallery Willie Wilson.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Nick, Barry, Joel in studio, taking you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. We did mention a little bit about the Astros, but obviously the story of the day is everything that went down last night with Urban Meyer, Ohio State. I watched the press conference. I think you guys either watched it or caught up on it, but overall, just interested to get everybody's thoughts on what was, to me, just a catastrophic disaster and just embarrassing, if not just for the university, for Ohio State University, but just overall, it's a bad look for the NCAA. We were talking about yesterday what was going on with A&M, and obviously this all makes that pale by comparison, but it's just overall a bad look if you're the NCAA with football right now.
It is a very bad look, and the whole way that it was handled from top to bottom, beginning to end, through the controversy, after with the assessment of it and the investigation, it's a bad look. And one of the main points that I really didn't think about until I saw it mentioned several different ways, several different times, was there are kids out here serving a longer suspension for selling their shoes than Urban Meyer got for covering up or ignoring domestic violence from his coaching staff. And that speaks volumes, I think, for the NCAA. And kind of like what we mentioned yesterday when we talked about the Aggies, you'll know where their priorities are by the way that they react to certain situations. Like if they change the rules for players being able to snitch on the team they're leaving in order to be able to transfer, that'll tell you what the NCAA is. I think this speaks a lot about that as well. I mean, the fact that you've got all of the information that they have and you get so much BS that comes out. The whole, oh, well, this medicine made him not be able to remember. He had enough faculties in his head to be able to put together game plans and, but you know, remember what he wanted to do strategically on the field. That wasn't a problem.
He remembered how to get in touch with his cell phone company and get rid of text messages.
That, to me, and you and I mentioned that when we were headed to lunch, and that, to me, is a telltale sign of somebody that's guilty. If you're out there trying to delete text messages. What was the other example you gave?
The fact that Zach Smith had a domestic violence charge in 2009 when they were both at Florida. He hires Zach Smith at Ohio State.
No, from text messages. Urban Meyer deleted his text messages. Tom Brady.
Oh, Brady and Deflategate and all
another
that.
Another perfect example of what are you trying to cover up? Why all of a sudden are your text messages deleted? If you got a new phone, I get it. But if you didn't get a new phone, where are all your text messages at? What happened? No one just goes in and randomly deletes text messages off of their phone except for the last year. That just doesn't happen.
It doesn't. And the thing is, you just go top to bottom. And to me, I had tweeted this. It looked almost like a hostage situation when the hostage has to get up there because he's being held against his will and has to say and read from a script that he's been given to by his captors, the captors. And he has to act like it's from the heart. And every possible way, he could look more callous, more uncaring. There's just so much. Nick printed the report, but I had started to delve into it last night. When you look at it and you start picking up some things, it's like for everybody that's giving kudos to the board and the special counsel and everybody that worked on this, how could you not see through half the crap that's in this report and go, come on, man, who's buying this? You know, what you're selling, I'm not buying, and I'm not even close, and I'm not, in a tax bracket or in an intelligence level with you guys to be able to say that, if I can see through it, you damn well should.
What's crazy to me, too, is that the lawyer for Zach Smith is coming out, and they're basically on the attack. They are attacking his ex and saying, oh, she's setting this all up. She's making this up. Here's the thing, and before any of you guys decide whether you're an Ohio State alum or whatever, you're just a defender of stupidity. Before anybody decides to, let's wait until all the facts come out. The fact is that her and Urban Meyer's wife exchanged text, and it wasn't her that planted the seed. It was Urban Meyer's wife that said, "We worry about you. I'm concerned for your safety." That's all I needed to know. There's no other investigation that needs to take place to me. These are two women having a conversation that they don't know is going to be made public later. And in that conversation, one woman is expressing concern for the other woman. So you can save the setup. You can save the that she was just trying to get money. This is an actual conversation that took place.
And when they interviewed Courtney Smith, one of the things she said was Urban's wife said at some point, I should let Urban know. And she goes, you should. I'm fine with that. So there was a conversation that led Courtney Smith to believe that Urban knew.
Yep.
Don't give me different ways, different adjectives for lying. Because what you did at Media Day was you lied. You knew you lied. You can say, well, I had memory loss. Or I didn't think it was the right time. BS, you lied, right? And then the biggest, most annoying, most just bothersome thing of the whole thing was Urban would not mention Courtney Smith by name throughout the entire process. He basically every time, and Nick, you pointed out, even with nonverbal communication and the verbal communication was when asked about did he deserve the suspension and otherwise, he basically said, I have total confidence in the president of the university. So he's already being contrary, he's fighting it. But then when he had to be asked by a reporter from ESPN, you know, what would you say to Courtney Smith? This a-hole goes, I'm just sorry we're all in this situation.
That's the worst.
I have sympathy for everyone involved. Really, Urban? That's where you're going to go?
To me, that just speaks volumes about this man who supposedly has all of this character that he's known for. And this he's upstanding in the way that he respects women and all of these things. If so, why would you this is a typical narcissistic answer to a question like that. Like, I've been watching the show with my wife. It's called I Am a Killer. And they're talking to guys that have, you know, that are on death row. And one of the things that you notice is that some of those guys that are remorseful, and they even mention the fact that if you are remorseful and you're truly remorseful, you don't make an apology about you. You make it about the victims because that's the point. You're saying, I'm sorry that this happened. To come out and say, I'm sorry, we're all in this situation, is avoiding the real truth of what it is that you're sorry about. You're sorry you got caught. That's what it is. You're not sorry that you won football games. You're not sorry that you let a guy that did this be on your program because you figured it would make your program better and you would win football games and keep your job. That's what you're sorry about. You're sorry.
You're sorry you're losing your top recruiter.
Yeah. You're sorry you got caught.
Yeah. No question about it. And look, there's a couple ways to look at this too. I thought about this. Between you and Nora, mm-hmm. is there ever a time, whether it be something here, something otherwise, or something with her at work, where whether you guys are in the kitchen watching TV or laying in bed, where you're not going to go, man, this happened and it's really on my mind and it's really bothering me. Don't give me the BS and feed the world the BS up. We never talked about it. Never even came up.
Yeah, especially, you know what? If you work at the same place as your spouse, guess what you tend to talk? Because Nora and I, when we met, we worked together. And we talked about work all the time. And so, yeah, when you go home, you're probably like, oh, God, Lisa Barry was insufferable today. I just, oh, blah, 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 blah. I hate that guy, whatever. And Lisa probably comes home and does the same thing. Oh, Darby Douglas, he's a creep or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But, I mean, the same thing happens.
I mean, not just once in a while. That's every day.
But the same thing happens with me and Nora. You're right. She comes home. We talk about what's going on in her job. I go home. I talk about what's going on at my job. It's natural for a husband and wife to do that. And for you to say that there's never been a conversation. It's different if Nora never came home and told me that a coworker of hers is having a domestic violence issue because I don't know the coworker and it might slip her mind. But the fact that if we worked at the same job, at the same business, and one of the guys that she's, one of the ladies that she's talking to about this is married to the guy that works for me and that never comes up, it's asinine to even assume that that would be the case.
No question about it. And the other thing that was really chapping my ass during the press conference was how Gene Smith was covering for him every chance he got. And the biggest thing was they came from the get-go and said, by the way, we're only going to have time for about 20 minutes. So first the president starts talking and rambling on real slowly. Then every time a question was directed at Urban early on, the AD steps in and goes, let me step in here. Let me take that part of it because that's on me. And it's like, stop it. You're just showing as a university that all you care about is that this guy wins football games.
Yep.
You're not worried about the fact that there's a victim out there, that this is a series, a chain reaction of events that has occurred over time, more than one time, over and over again. And the fact that when Urban Meyer came to the university, he knew what he was getting into with this guy from what he had been in previously. He didn't tell anybody about it.
No.
And got him hired.
I don't understand. Ohio State had an opportunity to save face in this. They had an opportunity to do the right thing, to take the high road. And Urban Meyer as well had the opportunity to do that. And instead, they tried to smoke and mirrors and use verbiage and vague language to get out of it. And it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for it. If I was an Ohio State alum, I would be embarrassed about my school.
No question about it. But more and more, you're seeing people that are coming to his defense and just happy they got their football coach back.
It's ridiculous. It really is.
It's pretty sad. And the thing is, it translates to the media, too, because ESPN this morning, if you look at Joey Galloway, he basically like, well, the football team just gets back to business. They're worried about football.
Yeah.
And they're going to be all right. And it was just kind of folk trying to deflect, whereas at least I give Kirk Herbstreit credit because he's a Buckeye. And Kirk Herbstreit was talking about how literally embarrassing the entire situation was. And I'll say this. You and I, whether you did it or I did it, if there's ever a time when we feel guilty or we feel like we did something wrong and we're talking to the other person about it, we're looking the other person right in the eye.
Yeah.
And we're going, you know what, man? I screwed up there. That's on me. The fact that he read the entire speech that he was going to give. He couldn't even read, by the way. He kept looking down the entire time. You should have bullet points, and you should look at every... This is like Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods tried to admit guilt, read the whole damn thing, barely looked in the camera, looked cold as ice, not believable, and everybody just hated him more.
And if you read it, people think, well, he didn't write that. No way he wrote that.
No
Somebody,
way.
His publicist and some, you know, some public relations person at Ohio State combined to write that. Those aren't his words.
Absolutely right. No question about it. All right, if you want to talk about it, we're here for you, HRP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 96.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Stupid.
Bushwhack Bill and the boys back on a Thursday on the usual suspects. The famous ones are here. Nick and I are here, too.
Yeah.
The mascot of the station is here. Everyone knows Trey.
Everyone loves Trey. I kind of don't like it.
I like it. And I wouldn't say everyone because he got kicked out of an area that he was trying to learn from and felt bad about it. We wanted him here.
I guess I shouldn't say I don't like it. I should say I'm jealous. Everyone loves Trey. I've never seen Trey get a hate text. I've never seen anything posted.
Wait, has Tyler ever texted you?
Well,
because that's where the hate would come.
There is one guy that hates Trey, and it's Tyler.
Yes.
But everyone else loves Trey. Facebook, social media, Twitter, the text line. I haven't even opened the text line.
You should.
Everyone loves Trey. You and I and Nick.
Oh, God. We get our haters every day.
Not everyone loves us.
No.
Individually or collectively.
L.U. Dillon loves me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
So think about this, guys. Braxton Miller traded gear at Ohio State for tattoos.
Yep.
What'd he get? 5 games?
Was it? There was a whole list.
Todd Gurley was suspended 4 games at Georgia for accepting $3,000 for signing autographs.
He got 4 games.
He got 4 games. Meyer got 3.
There was UNC's Chaz Surratt.
The Carolina guys with the Jordans.
Yep. 4 games for selling his sneakers.
He got 3 games, kids. And again, Barry, you're absolutely right. This goes back to exactly what you're saying. And I was talking to Lisa about this last night, saying the great point that you made about the fact that we're really going to see what the NCAA is made of and what really matters to them. By the way, they handled the A&M situation simply because if they just eliminate the rule that you are supposed to narc on the university you're leaving to try and get to another university and not have to sit out a year, then you know it's all about the almighty dollar and the popularity of college football. But if it's about doing things the right way, they're going to crack back on all the universities, and there's going to be a lot of mudslinging going on. to try and clean up what is obviously very dirty in the terms of college football recruiting and, you know, all the different antics that are going on in all these different football programs.
Yeah. It's going to be the next couple of years are going to be defining for the NCAA, I think, as has the last year or two been for the NFL. I mean, we kind of realize now what the NFL is all about when you look at the way they handled CTE, the way they handled the kneeling, and the way they've handled domestic abuse. And when you consider it, punishments fitting the crime, it's been lopsided. And I think everyone knows what the NFL is now. And so you either support it, you like it, and you watch it, or you don't care, and you move on. So that's going to be, I have a feeling, the next couple of years for the NCAA. Because yeah, more and more stuff is coming out. More of these programs with Michigan State and Penn State. And it's going to be real interesting how everything shakes down.
Without question. I mean, that's the thing. And again, what are you made of and what are you really concerned about at the end of the day? Because if it is doing the right thing, looking out for the student athlete and protecting the kids, then we'll see them take certain action.
Yeah.
And if they don't, it's all you need to know.
Yep. Kyle wants to talk Urban Meyer.
All right, Kyle, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up, Kyle?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I'm your, I guess you could call me your token homer. I'm a Buckeye fan, Bowling Green alum.
Okay. So
I'm Urban through and through. But I agree with you guys on the visual of it, right? Like everything you guys are saying, the optic of it didn't look good. But the thing that I hang on is, you know, Gene Smith knew everything. And Gene Smith, Urban Meyer's superior. Gene Smith also was at the helm when Tressel had all his issues and the tattoos and all this. If anything, in my opinion, as a Buckeye fan, Gene Smith ought to be the one being hung out to dry, not Urban. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Now, Kyle, there's a couple different schools of thought here, and Barry, obviously, chime in, and we'll go back and forth on this. But I don't want you to hang up just yet, because I want to get your thoughts on some other things. I mean, you're an Urban guy, you said, through and through, and obviously he started at Bowling Green, and now he's at Ohio State, and I get all that. But let's not forget the in-between now at Florida. Let's not forget what we know about what happened at Florida, not just what happened with Zach Smith. Let's talk about and worry about the long list of those guys, too, where players were actually ratting on themselves because they couldn't take the guilt anymore of the fact that they were violating different, you know, a different violation every week, but they weren't getting caught, they weren't getting punished. And when they were, it was for like a snap or two. It wasn't a quarter or a game or a week or missing practice. Aaron Hernandez, you can go up and down the list, all the different guys that were there, all the trouble they were getting in, and Urban was sweeping it under the rug. So I get it from the standpoint of he's a hell of a football coach. I'm not trying to take that away from him. But, I mean, this isn't it like first violation ever, squeaky clean rep, so let's go give him the benefit of the doubt here, right?
Right. No, I agree. And, you know, honestly, and I'm not going to condone if Zach Smith did all this stuff, he deserves what he gets, and Urban should have got more if he knew. But and where there's that much smoke, there's probably fire. And you know, obviously, if he's not Earl Bruce's grandson, no one knows who this guy is 12 years ago, right? But to me, I think Gene Smith ought to be held in a higher regard. And you know, it's also, and I've been putting myself in Urban's shoes, it's also difficult. How far do I take this knowing there's no charge, right? It's essentially hearsay until there's a charge, and there's still no charge. So do I bring my compliance people in? Do I make a thing of something that the courts and the legal system haven't really made a thing? I take it to my superior. My superior knows. Now, to me, it's up to him what to do with it. And to me, if he didn't take it to compliance, that's a big issue.
Well, Kyle,
I'm not saying
Kyle,
Urban's off the hook.
Here's the flaw in that argument, Kyle. The flaw in that argument is that Urban Meyer hires and fires his own coaches. So he has that opportunity, and he can report it to his superiors. But if he knows about it, it's also on him to make corrective action. And if you look at it, when Smith was let go, Urban Meyer is the one that did it. This is enough. We can't have this anymore. So it you can I'm with you that his superiors are probably on the hook as well, but that doesn't exclude Urban Meyer in this whole thing.
Gene Smith put himself on the hook yesterday because he covered for Urban over and over and over again where he didn't have to either. So they're both guilty. Let's just put it there. I mean, I don't know two ways about it. They both look guilty as hell. Reading what I've read, they seem guilty as hell. Listening to them, they admit guilt in the fact that they're just trying to be better after making mistakes going forward. It's a bad look overall. All right, Kyle, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for listening. We're going to continue to roll on. We got one in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects in hour number two right here on ESPN 97.5.